Good morning, everybody. I don't know about you, but that song pumps me up. I want to thank you all for joining. I am joined today with co-host Alex Stanzik and producer Jacob. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, morning, man.
Quick shout out to Mickey Koss, AC, Randy K in the audience, and Hunter. And before I talk about our featured guest this morning, Nico from Simply Bitcoin, I just want to let everyone know the purpose of this show. In case this is your first time here, you're new, or if you just forgot, the purpose of this show, of the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, is to defend the values that our nation was founded upon. We want to champion a decentralized and trustless system that empowers individuals, communities, and small businesses and eliminate a central authority so we could advance the cause of a free and an open society. We do this by harnessing the power of Bitcoin and promoting a world where every individual has the undeniable right to control their own destiny, their own assets, and their own privacy. And we will definitely be talking about that today. We don't support tyranny in any of its forms, and with our use of combined experience and our passion to ensure the promise of liberty thrives, and together we are going to continue to safeguard the ideals that define us as Americans. We are veterans, we are Bitcoiners, and we're here for freedom. Hoorah! Let's go. Good morning, Gabe Lord. Good morning, Nico. How you doing?
Good morning. I hope everyone's doing great. Just want to start off the morning with telling you guys some little known facts about Alex Stanzik. Alex Stanzik once kicked a horse in the chin. His descendants are now known as giraffes. Alex Stanzik has unscrambled an egg before, and the boogeyman actually checks his closet for Alex Stanzik before going to bed. Good morning.
Morning, dude.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Shout out to Wade. Wade Hook, how you doing?
Pretty good. Good morning. That was an absolute boss intro there. Love it. The fighting tyranny in all forms. Oh, congratulations, Nico, on getting Simply back on YouTube.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was quite a weekend. You know, didn't stop calling in favors and, you know, fighting out on Twitter and just kind of contacting people. And it was interesting, but I think we made enough noise, and super grateful for the entire Bitcoin community for standing up for us. And also, like, it got picked up by the media. So, you know, Forbes wrote an article about it, and Zero Hedge. And I think it got enough attention where, we made enough noise. I'll just put it that way. And it doesn't get lost on me either that, like, everyone has that type of privilege. Like, a lot of smaller creators aren't able to make that much noise if their channels get taken down. So, it's interesting, but super grateful for the community, super grateful for all you guys to just engage with the tweet and just call attention to it. And we were very lucky, and we were able to get our channel reinstated. Also, want to leave another fact for you guys. The Great Wall of China was originally built to keep Alex Stanzik out. It was not for the Mongolians.
Hey, Nico, were you able to determine if the YouTube fiasco was automated? And if so, are you going to change any of your policies or the way you deliver any of your information?
Yes, I believe it totally was automated. What I suspect happened was we played a clip about Saifedean talking about how Bitcoin is gunpowder, and then that led to, like, the discussion of, like, the evolution of warfare, like how it went from linear warfare to the invention of the machine gun, then it went to trench warfare, then, of course, you know, the introduction of tanks, right? So, you know, kind of like, and then, of course, the introduction of the atomic bomb. And I was just kind of describing a lot of these things that had to do with, like, human suffering, death, war, all of those things in a short amount of time, while Saifedean is basically saying that Bitcoin is gunpowder. And that stream was when the YouTube channel was cut. So I suspect that specifically for AI, for live streams, like YouTube runs an algo that picks up on certain keywords, and it just like it automatically pulls the stream. What we're doing internally is like we're gonna tone it down in terms of like we're gonna be very careful with specific trigger words and specific things. But what we're gonna also do is we're gonna start releasing exclusive like Rumble content. So like we're gonna have YouTube friendly content for a while. And then what we'll do is we'll probably continue the stream on Rumble. And we're also just looking into just making specific content just for the Rumble platform where we can let loose a little bit. And when I mean let loose, like I don't mean talking about like anything crazy. It's just like anything racist or anything like out of line. Like I'm talking about like things that are just not acceptable. Like they're just not YouTube friendly for whatever reason. But I do believe there are important topics to be talked about, which I feel safe talking about on X, which is just this whole idea where, you know, the U.S. government is using social media companies to censor the speech of Americans. And this is something that RFK said recently. You know, there's an interview with Mike Benz and Tucker Carlson yesterday. Highly suggest you watching it. But the general gist of it is simple. Like, the governments were not prepared for mass-scale peer-to-peer communications via social media. And I think that they used to be able to control this kind of shared narrative via controlling the handful of legacy media outlets and legacy media channels. And now that there isn't just 12 newspapers, and now that there isn't just 50 TV channels, now it's like millions upon millions of people just talking individually directly to each other and building their own followings. It becomes very difficult for, you know, the blob, so to speak, to convince people on policy. Like a great example of that is like the war in Ukraine. Like, why are we still sending billions of dollars to a war while, you know, people are suffering here in the U.S.? I think there was this very famous quote that I saw from Jack Posobiec, and it really stuck by me. He said, "I don't think the war in Iraq would have happened in 2003 if social media existed." And that was such a powerful quote to me because, like, if you think about how they sold the American public on the war in Iraq, they essentially said that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. And that news article originally came out of the New York Times. And it was later, like, discovered about, like, half a decade later that it was actually the intelligence agencies that fed that New York Times reporter, who, by the way, won every award known to man, that information, right? So it was bullshit, essentially. And now they can't propagate, they can't do the same techniques. And a great example of that was not too long ago, about 6 months ago or so, there came out a Wall Street Journal article that claimed that Hamas was using Bitcoin to raise money for terrorism. And then, of course, Elizabeth Warren jumped on that train and, you know, it got FinCEN to introduce these rules that would increase the reporting requirements. It was just absolutely crazy. But after the facts came out, because of how much we fought back on social media, it was actually a congressional testimony where they got the head of the FinCEN to admit that the vast majority of money laundering by terrorists is actually done through the traditional financial system. It's not actually done through Bitcoin. So it was like imagine if we didn't have social media, they would have gotten away with that article, right? But now we have a mechanism, we have a tool for us to talk back. And of course, like, they're not used to that and they're adjusting to it. And it's just very, very interesting to see. Anyways, I do want to tell you guys another fact about Alex Stanzik. Alex Stanzik can unscramble a Rubik's Cube just by staring at it.
Hey, Nico, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I think we're getting a lot of background noise on your mic. So I don't know if you're moving around or doing something, but it's a little staticky when you're talking. But I agree with you. I do think that the mainstream media is, they're scared. They're frightened. They can see these numbers that Elon and everyone else is throwing up there, and Tucker, and they don't have a way to control the narrative anymore. And so I'm glad you kind of, you already kind of talked about it. But so you said you're starting to shift a lot of your focus onto Rumble. At what point do you think that you're going to be focused solely on, you know, just remove YouTube altogether just because of all the red tape?
So I think unfortunately, if you're trying to build a media company, specifically like a video based media company, because YouTube is the world's second largest search engine, you kind of don't have a choice if you want to reach a larger audience. That being said, once you reach a critical mass, your audience will follow you anywhere, right? But what's the mission of Simply Bitcoin? The mission of Simply Bitcoin is to orange pill the world, right? And the best, you know, one of the best kind of like normie platforms that has the biggest amount of reach is YouTube. So I think what we're going to do as a strategy going forward, like I said, is we're going to have our YouTube friendly content. And what we'll do is we'll probably extend the live show. Like, we'll do the live show on YouTube and Rumble. We'll cut it short on YouTube and just do exclusively on Rumble. And then what we'll do is we'll probably start releasing just original content just on Rumble, where we can talk a little bit about some more non-YouTube friendly topics. I think that's what we're going to do moving forward. Another thing also too is the bigger you get on YouTube and the bigger you get in general, it just the harder it is for you to get deplatformed, just because of the amount of public feedback, just because of the backlash that people get. So that's kind of like the crux of it right now, is that like we obviously want to stay on YouTube, so we'll play by the rules, but at the same time we do want to make our opinions known, but we'll do that on platforms where, you know, they value that type of stuff, like X and like Rumble, and kind of working on some Noster stuff as well. It's in the pipeline, and looking forward to announce that in the coming months or so.
Awesome. Yeah, we look forward to hearing that as well. Quick shout out to Terrence. Good morning, sir. And Gabe Lord.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, Nico, it sounds like you just need to kind of throw in like these Alex Stanzik facts in between your financial gunpowder and rogue and resistance money, or, you know, describe why AC and I should grow facial hair to fit into this space. You know, you just mix it up so the bots don't know what you're talking about. But I'm glad it's bots, actually. It's reassuring to hear that it was the bots that did that.
I don't know for sure. I'm speculating, and like they don't really give you a reason. Like they give you a reason as to why they ban you, but like they don't give you a reason as to why they, like, they just said, hey, we made a mistake, sorry. And then I did not get off the phone this weekend, so I did a lot of research and I spoke to a lot of people that this has happened to, and just the general consensus for any like content creators in the audience right now is like, if you find yourself in this situation, like the way to fix it is literally making noise, like getting people to notice what's happening, and that calls attention to it.
I think this has happened too to quite a few of us. I don't know if it happened to you as well, but even here on X or Twitter, it happened to me once, and for 4 days I was kicked off Twitter with no explanation, just the regular messaging that you got that said I violated the terms, and I could not figure out how. I couldn't get a hold of anyone. I eventually just swapped out my credit card of how I was paying, and somehow that fixed it. But who knows?
Yeah, they silo it. They obviously they do that on purpose so that, you know, it's a little bit of a black box. But I think that this highlights like the importance of protocols like Noster, where like you can't, there is no ability to just deplatform someone. Bitcoin, there, you can't just freeze someone's money. You can't just like whatever the justification is.
Hey, Nico.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of background noise right now.
Okay. How about now? Is it better?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Awesome. So I mean, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I think we're heading into a future where you won't be able to stop what money people use, and you won't be able to stop what information they consume. And how the current world is structured, the political system, is that the nation states, like governments, have had the ability to control that. Like, they've had a monopoly on money and information. And what I'm coming to terms to, and I tweeted this out actually a couple weeks ago, is I said, like, yeah, you go down the rabbit hole and then you ask the question, what is money? But now I'm at the point where I'm asking the question, like, what is government? Like, what is the role of government? Like, what RFK said was damning. He literally said that the intelligence agencies were propagandizing, censoring, and interfering in American elections. And the Zuckerberg news that came out, where he basically comes out and he says that he regrets censoring for, you know, the current administration, and that, you know, they'll change their policies moving forward and they want to do that. But one of the things that they censored was the Hunter Biden laptop, which initially that story came out and they said it was misinformation. It was later confirmed, but it was still pulled off Twitter, right? And that could have potentially affected the outcome of an election. So it's crazy that we live in this world where unaccountable bureaucrats are censoring the speech of Americans, propagandizing Americans, and potentially interfering in elections. And that's a really scary place to be in, because, like, if there is no accountability, which is what the democratic process is supposed to do, then, you know, you find yourself in a dictatorship, in an authoritarian regime, right? And one last thing that I'll say is their definition of democracy is different than, and they do this on purpose, their definition of democracy is not the same definition that we have. Their definition of democracy are the institutions and the agencies that are currently in power, do they agree with the change in leadership? If they agree, then it's democratic. If they don't agree, then it's anti-democratic. And, like, if you actually look at the actual definition of democracy, like, that is the exact opposite of democracy. That's, like, democracy by the bureaucratic elite. It's not democracy by the people for the people. So, yeah, it's very interesting times, but at the same time, like, I'm not surprised as a Bitcoiner, because if you've read the book The Sovereign Individual, they literally predicted all of this. Like, all of this was going to happen because of information technologies, because of the internet. And just the world is adjusting right now. Like, it's adjusting to this new type of medium. And unfortunately, I mean, fortunately for most people, but unfortunately for people that have been used to operating in the prior system, yeah, like, the way that the sovereign individual described it was that governments see their citizens as tax cattle, but now the internet has given them wings, not only on the money front, but also on the information front. And we're seeing them, like, kind of react but I just don't think it's going to work out for them. Like, once that box has been open, you can't put it back in. And, you know, I think that's what's causing all these kind of tumultuous times. And one last thing I'll say is, like, this upcoming election is going to be crazy, because you have, like, I don't want to get into all the other political stuff because it's a Bitcoin show, but, like, you have a pro-Bitcoin candidate, anti-CBDC candidate, against a anti-Bitcoin candidate, and a pro-CBDC candidate. So from a regulatory environment, this election coming up this year is actually going to have a pretty significant impact on Bitcoiners and the Bitcoin industry thriving in the United States. And that's the first time that has ever happened in history. So it's pretty crazy, all of this.
Yeah, it is crazy, but I don't think it's specific just to the Bitcoiners in our industry. Like, some of the policies that they're trying to push through, it's going to affect every single business. And it's pretty crazy. Yesterday afternoon, Harris's economic reformist, whoever's on her team, came out and again pushed her new tax policy, the corporate gains tax, increasing to 28%. Capital gains tax more than doubling, going from 20% to 44%. And then the other one, I don't get how anyone could vote for a policy like this with the unrealized gains on, or unrealized taxes on your gains, 25%. How would that affect, how do you think that's going to affect everybody, Nico, especially with yourself, with your business, if this policy gets through?
Yeah, I mean, to be blunt, like, you got to call it for what it is. They've confirmed this, both the presidential candidate and the VP. As someone who originally came from Venezuela, my wife's Venezuelan, my parents are Venezuelan. I've seen this horse and pony show before. And it's obvious, it's always obfuscated, behind like joy and, you know, quality, and we're all gonna, you know, thrive and everything's gonna be great. But like, you gotta call it for what it is. It's socialism, it's communism. That's been tried for 100 years, and it always results in poverty, death, and despair, like every single time. And what you're seeing today in the United States is they did a little bit of a bait and switch. They essentially, instead of the upper class as the oppressors and the lower class as the oppressed, they did a bait and switch, and they introduced racism. So, like, for example, like, if you're a certain skin color, you're an oppressor. If you're a certain skin color, you're oppressed. If you have a certain sexuality, you're an oppressor. You get my point. So they did a bait and switch, and they did it successfully. But fundamentally, if you boil it down, what it comes down to is it's still Marxism. And that's essentially what's happening in the U.S. right now in terms of the current candidates. So when you see like them talk about 44% capital gains tax, 25% wealth tax, and then they're trying to convince the public, oh no, this is only going to apply to people that are worth $100 million or more. You should look at history, and you'll see every single time that's what they always say. And then when they get in power, they just apply that tax to everybody, right? That's what I'm seeing, to be blunt, to be honest, to be frank. I think I've been seeing this for over 4 or 5 years now. But I think the Overton window has shifted enough where enough people are starting to realize this. There was an interview yesterday on Legacy Media on Squawk Box where Joe was talking to one of Kamala's policy advisors or one of the people that are part of the Kamala campaign. And they're like, what are you doing with this capital gain? And he had no good explanation for it. You know, like, it was just kind of like, yeah, you know, this is just going to help everyone. This is going to
And like, that's never been the case. It's never been the case. Like, look, if you take a look at the United States and you take a look at California and New York, they both have income taxes in those states. If you look at Florida and Texas, they don't have income tax. Where is everyone moving? They're leaving New York and California in droves, and they're going to Texas and Florida for looking for opportunity. I'll give you another example. In Cuba, people are willing to risk their lives, get on a homemade raft, cross a 90-mile part of ocean to come to the United States. I'll give you another example. When Berlin had a wall separating the two cities between the, you know, East Berlin and West Berlin, why was it that every single person was trying to escape East Berlin, the socialist side, to come to West Berlin? Usually when your economic policy and your ideology requires walls and coercion to get people to go along with it, it's probably not working out very well, right? So we've been down this path. Unfortunately, Americans have never seen this before, and it kind of goes down the whole thing of like, it can never happen here. And because they've never seen it before, they're not familiar with what's happening. But I can tell you what the outcome will be, because the outcome has always been the same one, right? I think that this is an educational thing. I think it requires people to speak up, to say stuff, to make their voices heard. Because I'm telling you, like, once this happens and you have a potential socialist government in the U.S., like, that's a very strong statement, right? The amount of damage that could happen, like, economically, on an individual level, freedom aspects, could be severe. Right. I'm still bullish on the U.S. has the First Amendment, has the Second Amendment, has the state system. But, you know, this election is very consequential, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot bigger than I think a lot of people are than a lot of people think it is. So, Nico, I got a question for you. With all this the sideways price action, I know you're trying to get that's the mission of Simply, is try to get everybody orange-pilled. How are you finding contact or content that's bringing in new listeners, new people into the space?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part, right? Is, you know, like I've been waking up every morning for the last 4 years thinking, like, holy cow, what if I don't have anything to talk about today? So yeah, just kind of finding, you know, finding content that is newsworthy is part of the game. And I think you just kind of learn, you know, YouTube, and you kind of just learn what works and what doesn't. And the fact is that there's a lot of Bitcoiners that are seeing the world from the Bitcoiner lens rather than the conservative liberal media lens, and we want to serve them, you know. So we create content for them to make their hodling experience easier, and also to provide the news, like world news, global news, but from the eyes of Bitcoiners, which is it's a much more optimistic approach, in my opinion. So yeah, I think we're chopping sideways. I think the end of the year, we should definitely start picking up again. This is like a photocopy of 2019. So yeah, I think it's just a matter of, like, you know, don't sell your coins, hold. And, you know, I think we're going to be all kind of very pleasantly surprised heading into Q4 and heading into 2025. If the cycles repeat, like, they could, like, you know, it could not repeat, but it's so far, it's literally on the same exact track that it has been on every other previous cycle.
Yeah. And I think there's just so many economic things, macro things that are going on in the backdrop that I think when Bitcoin starts to rip, it's going to rip, and it's going to rip hard. This debt issue we have, it's just insane to me. Mickey, I see you got your hand up. You got a question?
Yeah, I've been thinking about how to ask Nico this, but I see a lot of Bitcoiners, you know, they'll post things like for the kids, like low time preference for the next generation, all this shit, but not a lot of them. I don't know. A lot of them are anon, so it's hard to tell. But so in the past year, you get married, right? Had a baby. So how has like walking the walk, how has it affected perspective, time preference, like the actual words you're saying were, you know, Bitcoin is for the next generation. Like, how has that impacted your work and perspective?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll talk about like my personal kind of situation, and then I think what generationally what people are experiencing. I think, you know, this is like the first time that the previous generations have had it worse than the older generation. So, like, if you are a millennial or a Gen Zer, you've had you're significantly poorer than your parents, right? So obviously that requires a little bit of kind of change in strategy, like, you know, financially and economically and how you're approaching it. I don't know what I would have done without Bitcoin. Like, there would have been no way in hell that I don't think I would have ever been able to purchase a home if it wasn't for Bitcoin. And I think that a lot of people are feeling the pain, which is why you're seeing the political situation right now being so divisive. Because I think what you're seeing is people wanting, like, they know something is inherently wrong with the system, but they seek a political solution where it's not a political solution. This is actually a problem with the money, right? So it's kind of really not only, you know, the responsibility of Bitcoiners, but also the responsibility of, like, it's not only our responsibility at Simply Bitcoin as a media organization, but also the responsibility of all you guys as individuals to, like, really get that message out there. Like, because, like, not only is that going to unify the country and unify people, it's actually going to give them a solution to their problems, right? Like, one of the things that I love, like, I've been in Bitcoin 8 years now, and one of the things that I love about Bitcoin is, again, like, it's put me in a much better situation that I think I would have ever been in if I followed the advice of traditional financial advisors and all of that. And I think that if you're my age, like early 30s or late 20s or mid 20s or early 20s, like it's not an option as to whether you should adopt Bitcoin or not. Like, in my opinion, it's really like a matter of survival, unless like you are in that top, you know, 1%, 5% bracket where, you know, you work at a wealth management bank and you make decent money. But if you don't fit into that category, like making it as middle class in America today is not what it was 20 years ago. Like, not even close, right? But that only applies if you are denominating, saving, and earning in fiat. If you're denominating your net worth and saving and earning in Bitcoin, actually the American dream is thriving, and it's actually now been exported worldwide. So, like, anyone could live the American dream today. They're just using the wrong unit of account. So we just have to get that message out there, right? And governments don't really have a good answer to this. Like, they've psyoped us into accepting the social contract of income tax. Okay. You know, they're a little bit sketchy about it. They used wars. You know, they met in Jekyll Island in the dead of night. You know, all these kind of sketchy things, but fine. They got away with it. Most countries, including the United States, we have never agreed to the tax of inflation. Like, we've never agreed to that. That's never been agreed to. So because that's never been agreed to, that's something that they won't have an answer to. Like, if they get asked, like, why does money have to lose purchasing power in order to function? They don't have a good response to that. Why do I have to become a part-time investor just to maintain my purchasing power? They don't have a good answer to that. They don't have an answer. They would rather just censor it and gaslight you, right? So I think as Bitcoiners and as individuals, we have to take agency and just keep hammering those questions home so that enough people wake up and they realize, holy crap, it's like, it's not the fact that there's Democrats in the White House. It's not the fact that there's Republicans in the White House. It's literally the fact that the money is stealing from everybody. And it's very insidious because essentially the way that you should see fiat money is it's a wealth redistribution mechanism from the lower and middle classes that don't have the means to save in assets back to the very wealthy that do have the means to save in assets. The very wealthy are okay with it because they're getting wealthier on paper because of asset, like assets go through the roof every time they print money. Their purchasing power remains relatively the same, but you know, they're looking at their assets just go up in value, right? So they're okay with it. And then it's back to the government. So like, it's such a scam on epic proportions that if you want to know why Elizabeth Warren, if you want to know why certain members of government are so against Bitcoin, it's not the money laundering, it's not the KYC, it's not any of the bullshit. It's the fact that Bitcoin is a fundamental threat to their monopoly on money and their unique privilege of being able to create money for free that the rest of us have to work for. That's it. Like, to put it blank. And if anyone is against Bitcoin, that's what you're against. You're essentially advocating for a system of privileges, a system of slavery versus a system of equality, right? Because if you want to make Bitcoin, you have to mine it like everybody else. If you want to buy Bitcoin, you have to buy it spot like everybody else. You don't really get any crazy deals. So it's a pretty fair system. Their system is a system of privileges where there's a bureaucratic elite that get to create money for free that everyone else has to work for. They benefit from that system. And then everybody else loses, right? So once you identify that problem, it is literally the root cause of a lot of the bullshit that we're seeing in the world today. The endless wars, the wealth inequality, you know, these crazy social programs that they can't afford, like politicians going absolutely nuts. It is literally caused by fiat. So you fix the money, you fix the world, and a lot of these problems will literally just go away.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of people are starting to wake up, and I think they're coming in waves. Like I think COVID was kind of the first big wave where a lot of people are like, whoa, like this isn't right. And then I think about two years ago, when inflation almost hit 10%, the reported inflation, I think that also woke a lot of people up. And I think we're about to get another wave here in the next 12 months or so where more people are going to just be like, this is crazy. So I guess my question for you is, at what point is there such a critical mass that there's enough waves taking over the ship that the ship just starts to sink?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I actually asked Jeff Booth like a very similar question when he came on my show, because I was like, hey, like, why isn't this happening quicker? And the way that he described it was excellent. He's like, Nico, like, you have to understand, like, the U.S. benefits tremendously from being the world reserve currency. Because it's the world reserve currency, the U.S. government could print money and not become like Argentina. And essentially what you're going to see is countries that are further away from that monopoly, from that power, are actually going to be the countries that first adopt alternatives, right? Like, what is unique about El Salvador is El Salvador, they don't have their own currency. They're dollarized, right? So their government was like, wow, like, you know, maybe we should look into an alternative. And I'm telling you, it's not a coincidence that the first country that made Bitcoin legal tender has the most popular in the popular president in the Americas. It's not a coincidence that the first public company that truly adopted a Bitcoin strategy and added Bitcoin to their treasury is the best performing company in the S&P. Out-competing NVIDIA, right? Like, it's those things aren't coincidences. They just found the cheat code. They found Bitcoin, right? So to answer your question, I think you're going to see the developing world adopt it first out of necessity. And I think the West is actually going to be like some of the last countries where the people and the citizenry adopt Bitcoin, because I think the bread and circuses are very strong. People are very comfortable. Like, if you live in the US, you have very convenient application. You can literally order food on your phone and they will bring it to your doorstep. You could do that with groceries. You could do that with goods and services. You could literally haul a ride and they'll come and pick you up and take you anywhere you want, right? And the payment apps are pretty convenient, right? So just, it's human nature. Unless you're like pressed into a corner and you have to adopt it out of necessity because it's about whether you can or you cannot put food on the table for your family, most people are always just going to default to convenience. And that's just kind of like the reality. You're starting to see that change a little bit, especially from like the investing standpoint when BlackRock entered the game and it started to become like more legitimized in the eyes of the legacy financial institutions. So perhaps you'll start to see more high net worth individuals in the United States get exposure to Bitcoin, not spot Bitcoin, but exposure to Bitcoin via the ETF. But I'm more bullish on the developing world in the people adopting Bitcoin than I am in the developed world, because there's no necessity at the moment. Like, you know, if the inflation rate is like 2, 3, 4, 5%, it's not large enough for people to realize they're being stolen from. But if your inflation rate is 10%, 15%, 20%, 30%, you don't give a flying fuck what the guy on TV in the suit behind an emblem has to say about financial policy and money, right? I'll give you an example. In Nigeria, they arrested the Binance executives because they claimed that Binance was threatening the local currency. And they still have one of the Binance executives in jail right now. Binance wasn't threatening the Nigerian currency. Binance was just literally offering an off-ramp to alternative currencies. So instead of the government admitting like, holy shit, maybe we should get our act together and not print so much money, they're like, no. It's the boogeyman's fault. Like, it's Bitcoin's fault. So I think you'll start to see that too. Also, as like governments get more desperate and they get more pressed into a corner and they're forced to answer for things that they've never been forced to answer for. So they've never been forced to answer to. I think you're going to start to see them get more desperate, right? But it's obviously not working. Like, it's not working at all. Like, people just don't believe what they have to say anymore. And then not to mention the double standards, right? I remember that there is a senator coming out of New York, or is a congressman, I believe, where he accused, all of a sudden, by the way, like, El Salvador just became the talk of the town, right? This is a relatively poor country. Has a GDP of $32 billion. To kind of give you an idea, Elon Musk's net worth is like significantly higher than the GDP of El Salvador. And all of a sudden, when they made Bitcoin legal tender, like, you see it on every single like news publication in the world that El Salvador is this, El Salvador is that. They just released a Time magazine article today on Nayib Bukele, and they call him an authoritarian and all this stuff. I don't think that they would have given El Salvador any time of day if they didn't make Bitcoin legal tender there. I think they're scared of it because they made Bitcoin legal tender there. That's what it fundamentally comes down to. And if you take a look at what Nayib Bukele's speech was at CPAC, He actually mentioned this. He's like, guys, the United States government doesn't pay for what it has to pay for through taxes. It pays for it via printing money, right? So, like, you can tell, you can see why the legacy media hates this small little country and this president so much, because they're pointing out the fraud. They're pointing out the scam. Look, if El Salvador thrives and a country like the United States is not thriving, right, people are going to start asking questions. And that's what it boils down to. And I've got to say this, last thing I got to say, because I've been rambling. El Salvador made their reserves public, so anybody could audit El Salvador's reserves. That makes it very difficult for politicians just to skim a little bit off the top. We have not seen a picture or video of the supposed gold in Fort Knox since 1976, I believe. When they showed people in 1976, they only toured one vault out of all the other vaults. So essentially, the U.S. government is saying, trust me, bro, we still have the gold. A little known fact as well. Fort Knox was actually built for the 6102 order. So when FDR confiscated the gold, they needed a place to put all that gold, and that's literally why Fort Knox was built. But we essentially have to take the U.S. government's word for it that they still have the gold that they took from U.S. citizens, that it's still there. They're saying, trust me, bro. But at the same time, there's articles and there's news articles coming out of, like, for example, like the Pentagon. Well, they'll admit to, like, hundreds of billions of dollars completely unaccounted for, but at the same time, they're trying to pass bills in Congress that are saying that every $600 transaction has to be reported, right? So it's like rules for thee, but not for me. But what it boils down to is the government's unique ability to create money for free, which allows them to pay for everything. And they need coercion to go for people to continue to go along with that system.
I would just say one thing. Okay, two things. Number one, I like Ornery Nico a lot. Ornery Nico is the best Nico. Number two, I'm glad this show is recorded, because those were some of the most epic freaking rants I have ever heard. This is going to be legendary in the legends of Bitcoin history.
What brand of coffee do you drink, Nico? That's what we all want to know.
I actually don't drink coffee. I get too jittery when I drink coffee. But did you guys know that...
Does this kid look like he, or act like he needs coffee right now? Seriously.
Sounds like a lot of truth for 7:45 a.m. That's all I'm saying.
It sounds like you're doing jumping jacks, or you're just really animated with your hands and creating a wind tunnel. Just tons of wind going on.
I'm just walking outside enjoying the sunlight, but just a little known fact, everybody, when Alex Stanzik enters a room, he doesn't walk in. The room shifts around him.
I think the best one you had on there was about the mirror. You want to share that one?
ChatGPT didn't give me that one this time.
It says when Alex Stanzik looks in the mirror shatters because the mirror knows better to get in between an Alex Stanzik and itself.
Did you know that the wolves of the world tell stories about to their pups about Alex Stanzik showing up on their doorsteps and blowing their houses down?
Okay, you guys are a little out of hand. Did you guys plan this shit? Am I getting roasted right now? Is that what's happening?
No, man, dude, we're telling the world about your life and your capabilities and what you could do.
Just organic conversation, Alex.
I'm sure it feels that way. It doesn't feel like an ambush at all right now.
Not at all. I do some quick shout outs to listeners in the audience. We got Punch Plate. What's going on, guys? Dom Bay and Lisa Huff. How are y'all doing? Does anybody else on the stage have some questions for Nico?
Nico.
Sorry, brother, I missed your rant. But have you had any additional follow-ups since you got reinstated from YouTube? or just you were switched on and you're left in the dark? What's happening?
I was switched on, and like support sent me a really, really, really nice email. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, you know, and what I was saying, BJ, like earlier, is that on YouTube, we're probably going to have to tone it down a little bit to make it more friendly. But we're going to start doing Rumble exclusive content. So we'll probably make the live show a little bit longer. We'll end it short on YouTube and we'll continue it on Rumble. And that's where we'll talk a little bit about more YouTube non-friendly topics that I think are important regarding censorship and government and all that. So that's what we have planned. That's in the works right now. We're really, really excited for that. And we're also looking into more like Rumble exclusive content as well. So yeah, that's essentially the pivot and change in strategy on our end. Like, we value YouTube as a platform. It's the second largest search engine in the world. And our mission is to orange pill people. So we obviously value the platform and we want to stay on it. And obviously they have a certain set of rules and it is what it is. So yeah, we're just going to release like exclusive content on other platforms where, you know, we can say other things. And I just want to mention something else. Did you know that Alex Stanzik can do a wheelie on a unicycle?
All right. So before we get Nico to go on his next rant, I just want to give a quick shout out to our partners. I want to mention Punchplate. Make sure that you store your seed phrases on something other than paper or in just your mind. It's good to have a hard copy of it in case things go wrong. So make sure you check them out. At Codl, CODL.co. Also check out Solo Satoshi. Decentralize the mining industry. Have your own little miner in the background. Very effective. SoloSatoshi.com. Also want to shout out to Black Sheep. They were gracious enough to donate 6,000 rounds, 6,000 rounds to our Ranch Day in Bitcoin, Nashville. So that was really awesome. And then the last one is Silent, S-L-N-T, Faraday bags. Again, something goes wrong, EMP, huge solar flare. You want to make sure you protect your hardware wallet. So go to slnt.com/BTC vets. Save 50% on your order and you qualify for free shipping.
Yeah, if I can just tack on to what Nico said, and I'm assuming you didn't cover this, but maybe you did. When I was doing that article for you that ended up in Zero Hedge, I had to message Nico and ask him for a thumbnail for one of his episodes that I wanted to set up as kind of the main image. And the reason was because I went to Google. Simply Bitcoin not only was a completely banished and deplatformed from YouTube, but it also didn't exist on Google. Nothing. I typed in Simply Bitcoin in google.com. It's as though it never existed. So that's how serious this is. It's not just about a YouTube channel getting deplatformed. It's about being erased from the number one search engine on the planet, which is, you know, detrimental to everybody, right? But this is getting serious. But also, Nico, what you're doing, everybody's doing that. I spoke to Scott Adams. He does the same thing as well. He uses Locals, Carl, Lotus Eaters. They do the same thing. Their spicy content is audio only and alternative platforms. And I think if you do that, you'll be good going ahead. So I wish you all the best of luck, brother.
Yeah, and I really appreciate all the support, BJ. Like, you know, you really came through for me, dude, and never forget that. And I definitely owe you, you know, a huge one, man, and really, really appreciate it. Also appreciate everyone in the room as well, like the Bitcoin community, super supportive. And they were the ones that, you know, including BJ, the guys over at Forbes, just the community in general having our back was, I believe, one of the major reasons as to why we got reinstated pretty quickly. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Did you guys know that when the Hulk gets angry, he turns into Alex Stanzik?
So we have about 5 minutes left. Did anyone else have any questions for Nico? Or Nico, did you want to hit on anything that we might not have covered?
Yeah, what I got to say is, like, you know, the whole
don't ask what Bitcoin can do for you. Ask what you can do for Bitcoin. This is a peaceful revolution. You know, this is what I call narrative trench warfare on the battlegrounds of the internet. If tweets are bullets, memes are artillery. This is warfare, but not kinetic warfare. This is war. This is information warfare. So this is really about winning over the hearts and minds of individuals and bringing them together behind the unifying message of Bitcoin and trying to get away from the traditional fiat politic divide and conquer stuff that's happening. That's not to say that politics aren't important. They still are while we're kind of in this transitionary period. So, but at the same time, I think more people, regardless of your personal beliefs and ideologies, have more in common than they have that they don't have. I think most people just want to provide for their families. They just want to live a life of peace and quiet. They want to have dignity. They want to have, you know, income. And I think that a lot of this, you know, divisiveness comes from DC, and I think it's on purpose. I think it's literally meant to distract people from what is actually happening. And what is actually happening is that money is stealing from everybody. And that's not very popular for people in Washington, DC, right? For people to know that. So I think it falls down to each and every single one of us as individuals to really get the message of Satoshi out. Because I think that the more people learn about Bitcoin, a lot of this divide, it's not to say that there won't be any differences, but I'm saying like the importance of those differences, instead of them being on the very top, they'll be on the very bottom. And I think it'll bring humanity together. I really do. And I'm really, really bullish about that. So, you know, instead of tuning in, like tune into your favorite content creators and go about your day, but like, you know, do whatever you can to orange pill your neighbor and your friends and your family, because once we reach a critical mass of people in the United States and worldwide that are taking self-custody of their wealth, we're going to win and there's nothing they can do about it. Like it's game, set, match type of thing, you know? So self-custody is the revolution. Take self-custody of your coins. That's how we win this thing. Love you all. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on here, Nico. Is there anywhere in particular you want us to direct listeners to your YouTube channel or Rumble?
Sure, yeah. I would say, you can find us on X, on YouTube, on Rumble, on your favorite podcasting platform by searching Simply Bitcoin. You can also follow my personal account at BitVault on Twitter. And thank you guys so much for having me. And I've told Alex all the time, like, you know, I love what you guys do. And I think that the veteran community is like a match made in heaven with the Bitcoin community. So really, really thankful for that. And last thing I will say is that Alex Stanzik, Alex Stanzik once won a game of Connect Four in 3 moves.
Hey, Nico, is it true now that you guys are back on the tube that Alex Stanzik is the only one approved to wear a Simply Bitcoin banned in 50 states on YouTube shirt?
This is true, and I believe that was Robert De Niro in the audience. How you doing, Robert?
Yo, what up, man? Hey, I heard things.
I think Alex Stanzik is the one using that circular saw behind you, Nico.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys don't know about Alex Stanzik, you guys don't know.
Hey, welcome, Dombey. Good morning, sir.
Did you know that Alex Stanzik is literally not using a phone to be on Spaces right now? He's doing this telepathically.
The 58 gang once tried to do a drive-by at Alex Stanzik's house. However, they reholstered their weapons and drove off.
And now everybody knows how to pronounce Alex's last name. That's the takeaway from today.
Yes, absolutely. So we're coming up on that hour mark. Does anybody else want to have some last minute comments or thoughts?
Focus on our similarities, not our differences.
Yeah, thanks, BJ, for hopping up here. And Nico, I want to thank you so much for coming up here. And honestly, really loved the talk today and the rants. It was an amazing episode. This hour flew by, just flew by.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. And keep doing what you guys are doing. And love you all. Thank you guys so much. Really, really appreciate it. And one last one for good measure. Alex Stanzik does not sleep. He waits.
All these are going to be stuck in my head today. All right. So just so everybody knows, we are not going to have a Spaces tomorrow, Friday, or on Monday, but we'll be back live at it on Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central Time. And in case you all didn't know, this Alex is going to be stepping off for a little bit. So this was his last time being up here as a co-host.
Maybe not last time, but
Stanzik doesn't step off of a co-host. A co-host steps off of Alex Stanzik.
See what you did, Nico? You drove Alex out.
Dude, Alex Stanzik doesn't even have to be here to co-host.
I think on one of the first spaces we did, Alex, you mentioned that you missed just sitting out on your porch in your underwear working out. And so from every time I don't see you on here in the morning, I'm going to picture you in Homer Simpson whitey tighties lifting weights.
That's appropriate. That's probably what's going to be happening there.
Okay. If no one else has anything, I really want to thank everybody for joining up here and contributing. Oh, Dompe, you got your hand up?
No, that is not my hand up. That is just Alex Stanzik in full control of my my profile.
All right, sounds good. But I want to thank everybody for being here today. It really means a lot to us. And thank you for everybody who contributed. Again, Nico, thank you so much for being here. Make sure to catch us Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock Eastern time on the Spaces. Make sure to get on the mission. Again, tyranny or freedom. That's really what it is. So make sure to check out the video podcast the Bitcoin Veterans put out every week. Comes out on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. This week featured yours truly. It was a really fun talk hanging out with Mike and Shane. I just talked a lot about hunting and fishing. But again, thank you guys so much for being here. And I look forward to seeing you all on Tuesday. Everyone have a great long weekend.